Thanks, guys. For those who don't know, my name's Rick. I'm part of the staff here, or part of the ministry team here. Actually, if you're a regular here, you're all part of the ministry team. That's another question for another time. Who's had their world turned upside down this year? Pretty much all of us, hasn't it? You know, like, I would imagine it. January, when people were signing up for uni, they had no idea that most of uni... uni students are always going to be at home, aren't they? No, sorry, guys. Now I've cut off half of you. But, you know, the world has turned upside down. I know people whose wedding plans have turned upside down. So these guys here, as in Susanna and Brandon, you know, a couple in our morning service, they got married with five people here. That's, you would have never thought that at the beginning of this year, a great celebration like a wedding would only be allowed five people. Family gatherings have changed. You know, you have to do a head count for family gatherings a couple of weeks ago if you're more than 10. Now, actually, you could have... Then they changed it. You could have no more... You know, it depends on whose family... We had to work out which family house you had to meet at. People's shopping habits have changed. So if you're a stock market investor and you were on the money, you could have made squillions out of people's... It's always like that with stock market, isn't it? It would have been wonderful to have foresight or hindsight or whatever it is. Who would have thought the church would have been online? I know this particular congregation is probably more online naturally than most people, but you wouldn't have thought the church would have been online. We didn't even have an internet connection here. We do now, by the way, and you're not allowed to use it. No. So, things have changed, haven't they? A regular comment I heard when we were in lockdown as a church was, won't it be good to get back to meeting with people face-to-face? And I reckon that was probably across the whole of society. People were looking forward to actually being in person talking to someone rather than on a two-dimensional screen. I reckon that was right. Who was sick of Zoom meetings, you know? People I know said they have Zoom all week. They're not coming to church because Zoom's on church, or church is on Zoom, sorry. Isn't it good to gather? But let me tell you, Zoom church was easy, wasn't it? Let me dangle how good it was for Zoom church. We didn't have to clean the place. Who's got their name on a cleaning roster? You know, all a forge. wouldn't that be good? So your Saturday mornings would be freer? Before church and after church cleaning, that would be easier. For me, you know, Sundays is my busy day. That's the only day I work, for some people think, but Sundays is a busy day. I was down here this morning, 7 o'clock this morning. I haven't been home for much more than a couple of hours. That's the week, that's the Sunday. But we, in lockdown, let me tell you, Sunday was a lot easier, wasn't it, Dave? You know, we didn't have to be down as early. We had stuff done. If you were preaching, you almost did nothing on a Sunday. Work that one out. Because you'd already done it on Saturday. Saturday became a little busier, but not much. And I could wake up on Sunday morning and be at the 8:30 service. Actually, I could be online at 8 o'clock if I woke up at 7:30. No worries in the world. Didn't have to iron my shirt. Well, I don't often do that anyhow. But it was. Let me tell you, Zoom church was easy. Really easy. Here's my question, though. Do you reckon we should just adopt a Zoom church model? I did offer to the 8:30 service, other people who've been here some 40 or 50 years of them. I said, how about we sell this building, split the money between a lot of us, and just go to Zoom church? Would that be a good option? Why not run Zoom church all the time? It might not connect with you well, but have you ever been in a family that gets stressed coming to church? And you had to get everyone ordered, organised in the church at the same time, in the car at the same time, get to the church, find a car park, get in here, and, you know, if you were the kid, you had to sit quiet and Mum and Dad were stressed. You remember that? I do, right? Everyone who's ever come to church with children, or actually every child who's ever come to church with their parents, knows exactly what I'm talking about. So, you know, getting to church can be stressful. And then it can be a long day. And the bloke out the front can be thoroughly boring. And you could have found a better speaker online. And there's better sermons, songs online. We live in a self-focused age. Why can't church be self-focused? Well, that's the question we're going to be looking at tonight. I really need to pray for us. Now I've convinced you you don't need to come. How about we pray for us? Because I want to convince you you do. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for the privilege it is to be able to meet together face to face. And we pray, Lord God, that we might see that it, not just a privilege, it's something you want us to do. And it's good for us. In fact, it's an essential part of being a follower of Jesus. Help us to understand your word. Help us to be shaped by your word in how we live. And help us to resist the culture push that says it's all about what I do for me. We ask this, Lord, in your precious name. Amen. Well, just in case you want to switch off, and it is been a long day for some of us, you get bored, that's pretty easy when I'm speaking. I'm going to ask a question and give you the really short answer. Does God want us to go to Zoom church or something like that? Do we really need to gather together? Can it just be a God and me approach to worship? And the answer is no. There's your short answer. I want to show you why I get to that short answer quickly. But I'll take a little longer to get to any. Won't be a quick one. Let's have a look at the whole of the Old Testament. Okay? The first reading we had from Psalm 111, verse 1. And the psalmist speaks of his desire to praise God and to worship God with God's people assembled together. And actually, that's the pattern of the whole of the Old Testament. I'll just pick on one psalm. And the Old Testament is filled with times where God got his people together because it was vital they were together. We'll see some of the benefits of that a little later on when we apply it to ourselves. Gathering together is central to God's people worshipping him. All the way through the Old Testament. There you go, there's a summary of the whole Old Testament. You won't go through it in detail. Let's go to the New Testament. Here's some examples of what gathering together is all about in the New Testament. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, you might want to note it down if it's easiest for you. We're not going to look it up straight away. It says that the church, that is God's people together, assembled together, that we are the temple of the living God. If you're a Christian and you're gathered together with a bunch of other Christians in a church context, you are the temple of the living God. I might not have thought about that. I'm not a temple by myself and you're not a temple by yourself. It's us. In chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, verse 9, it talks about us, if you're a Christian, being God's co-workers, being his field and his building. That's a mixing metaphors, isn't it? But actually, there's something about what we need to do. It needs to be done together. Ephesians 2, verse 19, through to verse 21. God's people together are being built together to be the place where God lives by his Spirit. Not me getting built by myself and you getting built by yourself, but us getting built as a church, getting built together where God lives by his Spirit. Now this will get us thinking hopefully about things on a bigger scale than this, but this is the way that God, the Bible speaks about what it means to be a church, or how churches are to be made up of not just me, myself, and I, but us. Now, 1 Peter 2, verse 9, it uses Old Testament imagery, and it refers again to the church as God's chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Now, I've just touched base, I hope you've realised, on a few places, just to show you that the habit or the general pattern for Old Testament and New Testament is that God's people gather together. Okay? Now, we might be thinking, did they have any other alternative? They didn't have Zoom church, I do believe. So was it just that they had no other alternative, or was it important for them to gather together? Was it central to being a church to gather together? Actually, the word church just means people assembled together. So we often in our terminology refer to this building as the church. I've just got to go up to the church for a moment. Now, I keep saying it's our church building. This is a beautiful weather shed. It's got lots of memories for some people. It's absolutely hopeless if you're an architect. It's a pathetic architecture. It's bad if you're a photographer, apparently. all the yellow bricks, it's horrible. It's air-conditioned, though. It's pretty nice tonight, isn't it? Really nice. But it's a good weather shed, but it's not the church. You guys are. So why should we gather together? Well, the second reading, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, puts it pretty straightforward. A church, God's people, should spur one another on towards love and good deeds. That's what we need to be doing. And it tells us how we to do that. It gives us two examples of how we can do that. And that is by meeting together. Don't give up the habit of meeting together, it says. And by encouraging one another. So Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says that that God's people, if they're going to persevere in being God's people, need to meet together and encourage each other, because as we do that, that will spur one another on towards love and good deeds. So Scripture expects us to meet together, doesn't it? The Bible, God's word, actually expects us to meet together because it's important. It actually says to keep doing that until Jesus returns, because it, in using the phrase from other places of the Bible, wants us to finish the race. It doesn't want us to start out well following Jesus. It wants us to do that, and it wants us to finish well. Okay, so second reason why we should gather together as God's people. We didn't read it before, but 1 Corinthians 11, and it's a passage that Paul is writing to the church in Corinth about the way they misuse the Lord's Supper. Fancy that. Right back at the very beginning, a bunch of people were misusing something that was key to what a church should be doing. Not surprising, really. It's not hard for us to twist and distort things, is it? But the reason why we're to celebrate the Lord's Supper, we're told in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17, is that it actually reminds us of the gospel. You see, having communion wasn't the end in itself. Having communion pointed towards what Jesus has done on the cross. And so remembering what Jesus did on the cross was a great thing to do when you gather together. Important thing to do when you gather together. In fact, it's essential for us to do. And it's so dangerous for us if we distort what God's given us. That's what 1 Corinthians 11 is reminding the church in Corinth about. They've distorted the Lord's Supper and turned it from something it was supposed to do into something that it's not supposed to do. Anyhow, you can read 1 Corinthians 11 later on. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. The church is gathered together and it's listening to Paul's letter to the church in Corinth being read out, which is God's word to the church in Corinth. And Paul is urging them, or reminding them, sorry, of the central importance of the gospel in their gatherings. It's essential to know the gospel for ourselves. We've got to grasp hold of what God's offered us. But it's important for us, it's central for us as when we gather together, to keep the gospel front and centre. Now, that brings me to the next reason of why it's important that we should gather together to worship God, is actually when we do so, we can do stuff like this. We can have God's word taught and we can think through how it impacts us as how we live. That's one of the things God expects to happen in a church. So 1 Timothy 3 verse 2, it says, elders, people who are leading churches, need to be able to teach. Or leaders in churches would be a better way to put that. Later on in 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 17, it actually says God has set apart people in the church whose role it is to teach and preach when God's people gather together. You can only teach and preach when God's people are gathered together if they're gathered together. It's expected that they would. Go to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through to verse 12, and God specifically gifts people in the church to be able to teach his word in various ways. It's got a list of gifts there. And they are people who are teaching God's word in various ways to build God's people up for works of service. And so teaching them God's word, as it says, so that they will build them up in the knowledge of the Son of God and they might become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. That's something that happens or should happen when God's people gather together. So there's the third reason why we should do it. Another reason, the more you know about God's word, the more you've got to be able to put it into practice. It's not just knowing stuff that matters. And there's things that God's word says that can only happen when we gather together. So if we want to be obedient, we must gather together, because we can only do these things when we gather together. Love one another deeply. Bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. You can't do those things if you're not gathered. And God gives us specific gifts, doesn't he? And you go to 1 Corinthians 12, and it talks about how God gives actually every one of his people different gifts. The same Spirit gives different gifts. And the reason God gives his people different gifts is so that they may use those gifts together like a well-functioning body. Many different parts that have equal concern for one another. You can't do that. You can't be a well-functioning body if the body's spread out all over the district. Fifth reason why we should gather together to worship God is that actually is an expression of our unity in the gospel. It's hard to claim unity in the gospel if you never meet. If you never meet together. Psalm 34, first three verses. The psalmist says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And that teaching gift that I was talking about in Ephesians 4 is so that we as a church might achieve unity in the faith. Meet together around God's word so that we are unified in what God's word says and in the way we act in response to it. So there's some reasons why we should gather together. That's why Zoom church is good, but actually not what we should be aiming at. But what about when we've only got gathering by myself as an option? Can we worship God by ourselves? If the pattern in the Old Testament and the New Testament is to gather together to worship God, can I worship God by myself? Maybe I'm in jail. Can I worship God by myself in solitary confinement? Of course you can. All the way through the scriptures, actually. God is normally worshipped when God's people gather together. But God can be worshipped any time and in any place by any number of people. Sometimes people are by themselves in the depths of despair. So King David wrote a few psalms, really from the pit of despair. He seemed to live there quite often by the looks of it. And he cried out to God by himself. Joseph, we were doing Genesis 12 to 50, we read about Joseph. He was in prison in Potiphar's house in Egypt, or in the jail, probably the compound of Potiphar's house. And we know there that Egyptians didn't worship God, so he had no fellow Christians as his mates. And he cries out to God and he worships God and gives thanks to God for the way that God has blessed him by himself in jail, in a foreign country. Paul himself, the New Testament Paul, praises God when he's often chained to soldiers. Now, some of those soldiers did get converted, we know that. But he wasn't restricted to praising God only after they got converted. Didn't exclude him from worshipping God when he's chained them. But the point of the thing is that yes, we can worship God when life goes pear-shaped or when we're unable to meet together. We can worship God by ourselves. But it shouldn't be our ongoing plan or choice. I'm about to head off on holidays tomorrow morning. The car will be heading down southeast, and I'm not telling you where in case you're going past. I don't want to see you. Oh, no, I do, actually, from a distance. On my holidays, I'll go walking. And when I go walking, not everyone wants to walk with me at the same time, so I'll often go for a walk by myself. That's understandable. We did want to read books and do whatever. And I can, on my walks, I often reflect on the goodness of God. I'll be praying for our church, maybe for you in particular, but for our church in general. I'll be by myself, hopefully no more than 20 Ks, and I'll be able to reflect and meditate on God's word, the stuff that I'll be reading. They're acts of worship. I'll do them by myself. Yes, you can worship God by yourself, but it's not your long-term plan. We should be gathering together. Worshipping God by myself does not replace gathering together. So where should we go to from here? You and I live in a very individualistic world. I think you can choose anything you want in the colour you want it to arrive at the time that you want it. I hope we realise as we're going through this series on worship that when it comes to worshipping God, it's not about individualism. It's actually about God's people. Yes, you are responsible as an individual, but it's about us gathering together as God's people. Gathering together is commanded. It's actually not an option for you to say, well, I'm not going to engage people ever again. It's Zoom and live streaming as far as I'm concerned. One day, or actually let me tell you, even today, our actions influence those around us. Now, if you put a priority in gathering together with God's people in your life, that same priority will be reflected in those around you, if they follow Jesus, that is. So what we do profoundly affects others. And if you don't gather together, it's disobedience. And you don't gather together and you could have, it's disobedience. So here's my suggestions. Make gathering together a weekly priority. That might sound strange in our world today. It wasn't all that long ago that Christians thought a regular Christian was someone who came once a week to church. And churches often think of regulars as the ones who come once a month now. That's a really sad direction to be going. Plan to be gathering together as God's people every week. But do more than just plan to gather. If it's that important, and if God's word calls us to gather and talks about why we should gather, here's some real things we should gain. Come together as God's people to think of ways that you can serve one another. Expect to serve one another. Because it's not about us. This is not about me or you. It's about us seeking God's glory in this world. It is really encouraging, I said at the last other two services today, to see the huge number of people that have put their hands up to do extra stuff so that we can meet together in the current context. Just talking to Dave, I think it was this Tuesday, at the huge number of people in the youth and young adults world that have helped the church gather together. That's really encouraging. Now, we can always do it more, by the way. But it is encouraging that we are thinking of ways to serve one another. In our church family, people go out of their way to pick up people who can't drive. People come and clean this place. People prepare prayer notes so that we can have thoughtfully directed prayers on a regular basis. People keep this place relatively safe so that you don't have to fight your way through 6 inches of gum nuts just to get in the front door. People help us with our singing. Well, actually, there's a very limited amount you can do with my singing. Putting the mask on is one thing, and they're thinking of sealing it up with gaffer tape just so nothing else can get out. But you get an idea. We get encouraged as we in our singing, and people do work in that so that we are well encouraged. People serve us in the suppers and teas and the coffees. Come to church thinking of ways you can serve one another. Another benefit of gathering together, we saw is that we look at God's word together. So why not come prepared to look at God's word? Generally in a series, you'll know what we're preaching on next week. This is funny enough, this particular series, I haven't been organised and Dave hasn't been organised to have all of our Bible readings already put up on the internet. But normally we do. You actually would know the main reading. We were looking through 2 Corinthians recently. You could have read through 2 Corinthians. We're going to be coming to Job after this, so you can read through Job. Come prepared, your head prepared, your mind prepared to look at God's word by reading it. But let me tell you, just having read through the Bible and knowing what the Bible's about to say on Sunday is not our end goal. It doesn't result in us worshipping God if you compare it off the whole of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. God's actually not impressed with that. I'd be impressed. God's far more impressed with whether or not we put into practice. James 1:22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." So when we gather together to worship God, to encourage one another, to live with a confident hope in Jesus, to live for Jesus, and to be shaped by Jesus' words, let's actually put into practice what we are learning from his word. That's a way to worship God together. Let me conclude. I reckon we've had some big changes in the last, we are eight months, just about to go into the ninth month of the year. At least the last 8 months, things have started to unravel in our world. And we have had lots of opportunities to find better preachers and better songs and better times to meet. And it's a really big push for us towards, in a society that's very individualistic, to get swamped into that. And so I want us to resist that. But actually, no, it's not about me. God's plan for us as his people is never to be individualists. It's to be gathered together as his people, around his word, seeking his glory. How about I pray? Lord, we just thank you for your word and the reminder that your word brings to us on the importance of gathering. Lord, sometimes we just we forget how important it is. So we pray that you would keep working in us to shape us and our living so that we can seek your glory in this world, that we can seek obedience to your word ourselves and together, so that we might be unified in our faith together in this world, so that we might learn how to serve one another together. Lord, keep working in us and shaping us in that way. We ask this, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.